Well, good evening, everyone. It's Friday night. Certainly glad that you all decided to come here this evening and to hear God's Word. I was glad to know there was a good crowd expected tonight. I count right at 67 people tonight. So thank you for coming this evening and choosing to do this with your Friday night. You know, I've been in and around Chattanooga and that area for quite a few years now. Back in, I guess, about 99 is when I first started coming out east, getting to know Molly and my wife now and her family and such. And appreciate the attendance of people from North Terrace that have been here this week from Chattanooga. It's a bit of a drive, but really appreciate them coming. Those people are special to me. And there's some folks from my Cleveland days that are here also. So just very thankful to be able to see some acquaintances that I've known from the past and loved ones. And I just want to thank the brethren here. You know, that church at North Terrace has always been special to me since I met those folks and in that area. And I would say that after I leave here, the people in Oak Ridge are special to me too. I have really enjoyed getting to know you this week. I appreciate the hospitality. I appreciate the work that you put into this meeting. It doesn't happen a lot of places that I go to. A lot of the work I got to do when I get there. But I got here and found that quite a bit of work has been done. And I just really appreciate seeing churches that are interested in the cause of Christ and interested in going out and getting work done. And I just hope that you continue in those pursuits, and I hope that I've been an encouragement to you as you have been to me. Appreciate the hospitality, the food, and so forth. I could just talk about all that stuff for a good while, I suppose, but just thank you so much. We have really felt welcome here, and look forward to getting to see you good brethren again someday in the future. But I guess we better get on into the lesson if we're going to truly get something done this evening. We've been talking from the book of Colossians, and tonight we find ourselves in Colossians chapter 4, as Brother Drew read for us here just a moment ago. And, you know, as we've been looking in Colossians, the subject has been walking worthily, because Paul tells the brethren in Colossae, as he did some other brethren, that they needed to walk worthy. They needed to walk worthy. And so as we've considered what that means this week, we've talked about Jesus and who He is, the image of the invisible God, and what that means for you and me. We've talked about having that mark that's made without hands, that is the circumcision of baptism, where the old man is cut away and we're raised to walk in newness of life. We've talked about that circumcision without hands. We've talked about setting our mind to do what's right, that commitment we've got to make. We talked last night about good choices we need to make as chosen people. And so tonight, we're really going to be expounding some on something we've touched on here and there throughout this series here in Colossians chapter 4. Paul writes to these brethren, "Devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." And so Paul explains to these brethren that they need to be devoted to prayer. Being devoted, of course, means to give a large part of one's resources to something. These saints needed to give a large part of their time, a large part of their energy to prayer. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of very devoted people in this world. December 12th is what is known as the Dia de la Virgen. I'm sure I'm not pronouncing that properly, but this event is found in Mexico City and it is participated in by Catholics annually. Each year, these Catholics, these observers, participants, they go to one of the two basilicas that's there in that city, and they stop some distance away. And what they do is they get down on their knees, and whatever distance remains between them and the basilica, they walk on their knees across a cobblestone pavement. Some people, it may be a shorter distance, may take them a half a day or whatever. Some people stop as much as 3 or 4 days away and walk on their knees for days on end to go to that respective basilica. It's hard to imagine people doing such things. I think especially in the culture in which we find ourselves. I know here a while back we were trying to replace the tile in our house. And I tell you what, tile goes down a lot easier than it comes out. And so we were on our hands and knees for weeks busting tile out of that house. It was not pleasant. It was painful sometimes. And I think, boy, howdy, if I just have to crawl on this smooth tile for a few weeks, I can't imagine doing something like this, bare knees across cobblestones to go inching my way to this basilica. Also makes me think about the Muslim prayer life. You know, we've all seen the clips on TV, the different pictures in the magazines and such of Muslims' prayer in their temple. I have an aunt who's a Muslim. My uncle married her when he was overseas, and it's interesting to listen to her talk about some of the stuff they do. A large crowd of people on prayer mats facing Mecca and praying prostrate on the ground. There's a lot that goes into it. The prayer is quite complex. They go at certain times of the day, five times. Before prayer, they have to purify themselves through this long process, and they have a man who is leading it, and the process is spelled out by him, and certain words are said and repeated, and it's done prostrate there, and a lot of it is a recitation of the Quran. As I think about this, while the devotion to prayer and worship by these people is misguided, there's no doubt about that, one thing that does stick in my head is that you cannot help but admire people for such devotion to their faith, whereas it's misguided or not. There's devotion there to it. It's very interesting to consider, I think, how dedicated these folks are to the various beliefs that they have. My friends, we've got to be devoted to prayer. We need to be people who are devoted to prayer. We're going to be talking about this from Colossians chapter 4 this evening. Faithful men in our Bible were devoted to prayer. We see that without fail. They had set times that they had set apart to go to God in prayer. If you look at Genesis chapter 24, Genesis 24 and verse 63, here we find Isaac. The Scripture says, Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening. That's Genesis chapter 24 and 63. And so, as he is meditating, the Scripture says, he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, camels were coming. So you see, Isaac had a time that he set to go out into this field and to meditate when evening came around. He's not the only man we can find like this in our Bible. No, we can go to Daniel chapter 6. And in Daniel chapter 6, we find that he had a structured prayer life. Verse 10 of Daniel 6. Notice what this says with me. Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10. Now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, this of course being the document that was going to end up condemning him to the lion's den, because he was going to maintain his faith regardless. He knew the document was signed. You know what he didn't do? He didn't go away and hide. He didn't say, well, I'm going to try to do this or that or the other. No, what Daniel did, he just went right along doing what he entered his house, the Scripture says. Now in his roof chamber, he had windows open toward Jerusalem. So he'd go up there, and as Scripture says, he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day. He continued kneeling on his knees three times. It's not something new he did that time. I mean, this wasn't a man who was using prayer as some kind of fire extinguisher where now everything's just in a bad state, and so now I'm going to start praying. I'm going to do it three times. He continued doing it. This is a man of prayer. He was devoted to it. Three times a day he had been praying. Three times a day he had continued praying at these times, giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. The New American Standard reiterates, we see the emphasis there, that he was a man of prayer. When we think about this, these ideas are kind of foreign to us, aren't they? Schedule prayer? Meditate? Is that even something scriptural? That sounds kind of New Agey, doesn't it? It's interesting to us because it's somewhat foreign, because the way these men were, they had set times where they were going to pray. They had decided that was what was going to happen and nothing was going to get in the way of it. And we're definitely not saying tonight that what we've got to do is to meditate in a field or we've got to schedule our prayer at certain times. But what we are saying tonight is that we have got to be devoted to prayer. And I will tell you, if scheduling's necessary, you pencil it in. We need to find time to pray. We need to be continuously prayerful people. What I fear is that many people talk to God once a day, you know, maybe over a mealtime or something. And folks, I hope that doesn't represent us. We're supposed to be the kind of people who are walking worthily. We're supposed to be the kind of people who recognize the importance of going to God in prayer and doing so continually, being men who are devoted to it. Men like Daniel was in chapter 6 and verse 10. So I think we would do well, as we will do this evening, to consider what Paul has to say about prayer to the Colossians. What does it mean to be a person who is a prayerful man, like these illustrations we've seen? How do I get there? Are there changes that maybe I need to make to prayer? Paul addresses some of these things for us. And so the first thing I'd like for us to see from Colossians 4 is really where we began tonight. We want to understand that if we're going to be devoted to prayer, first of all, that means we've got to be devoted, right? We need to consider what it means to be devoted. Devotion is a dedication of a large part of one's resources to a pursuit. It means that I'm going to pray. Paul says that prayer should be a large part of our day. Be devoted to prayer. That should be a lot of what we are as a saint. It should be our focus. It should be that one thing that's going to get done when nothing else gets done. You may wake up that day and the day may just totally go terribly. You may have planned to do this and that and the other, and it just didn't work out. You've had days like that? I know I have. I wake up thinking, this is what I'm going to do today. And at the end of the day, nothing on my checklist is checked off. Well, let me tell you what. There's one thing that better be checked off. As saints, we need to be devoted to prayer. I'm going to go talk to God. If nothing else gets done all day, I'm going to talk to Him. Because I'm devoted to prayer. Consider what's going on here with Paul. Paul knows well the encouragement that a person needs from God. You know, we think about the different difficulties that we have and so forth, and I understand that we do have difficulties from time to time, some for extended periods of time, not making anything less of the trials and such that we face. But Paul is a man who understands the encouragement a person needs from God. Think about the words here in Colossians chapter 4. Look at chapter 4 and verse 3. Notice what he says, "Pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I also have been," what? "Imprisoned." Look at verse 10 of Colossians 4. "Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, sends you his greetings, and also Barnabas' cousin Mark, about whom you received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him," the apostle says. So where is Paul when he is giving these instructions about prayer? When he's thinking about prayer, when he's requesting the prayers of those that he was writing to, where is he? Paul's imprisoned. Why? Paul was a terrible person, wasn't he? He had done all kinds of bad things against the king, right? Broke the law all the time. Is that why Paul's imprisoned? No, you know that's not the case. Paul was in prison for doing absolutely nothing wrong. He was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and as a result of that, he was being persecuted because of his faith by his kinsmen, by and large. You see, Paul was imprisoned. He probably says it best himself at Acts 23 and 6. He tells those Jews, "I am on trial for the hope and the resurrection of the dead." That's why Paul was in prison. Because he was proclaiming the hope. He was proclaiming the resurrection of the dead. What are we devoted to? You ever thought about that? What am I devoted to? That's an important question that each and every one of us needs to ask ourselves. And we need to be honest with ourselves about the answer to that question. You think about this for a moment. Here's a few statistics for you. The average person watches 4 hours of television a day. You may watch less, you may watch more. The average person, 4 hours a day. You know what that amounts to if you live and spend 65 years in this world? That amounts to about 9 years of your 65-year life watching television, just sitting there, taking in what's coming through the tube. My friends, that's devotion, isn't it? That's devotion. Think about this. The average person spends 7 hours a month on Facebook. That's just one website, on Facebook. Now, I know some of you looking out there, cool with that. Some of us do. Think about that for a moment. That amounts to about half a year of a 65-year life. Half a year out of 65 just spent on one website. Let me tell you what, there's some important stuff on there too. I wouldn't know what people were eating if I wasn't on Facebook, you know? No, I wouldn't know that. I wouldn't know what games people waste their time when they're on Facebook doing. I wouldn't know all that stuff if it wasn't for, I don't know how we got along without it. Half a year of 65 years spent on Facebook. My friends, That's devotion, isn't it? The average person spends 32 hours a month just on the internet. That amounts to 2.2 years of a 65-year life. Folks, that is devotion. We don't have any problem understanding devotion. We do it. The question is, what are we going to devote ourselves to? Now look, is there anything wrong in and of itself with watching some television? No. Wrong with doing something on Facebook? No. Anything wrong with surfing on the internet? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But when we look at our lives and we realize that we're spending an hour or two a week, maybe, reading God's Word and praying to Him, and then all this other time we spend doing things that just really don't amount to anything. Folks, on the last day, there's not going to be a test over what Andy Griffith had to say in Mayberry. It's not what it's going to be about. It's not going to matter to us then. It may matter to us now. It's not going to matter to us then. There's going to be one thing that's going to matter. We've been serving the Lord. We've been devoted to Him. We've been devoted to prayer like He told us to be. That's what's going to matter on that last day. Who or what are we devoted to? We tend to be devoted to something. It needs to be the Lord. Why is it so easy for us to be devoted to wasting time? Why is it so easy to be devoted to things such as that, and then it just be so difficult to be devoted to prayer? I don't know what the answer to that is. But I think that if we're all honest with ourselves, many of us will say, you know what? It is easier to waste time than to just sit down and spend genuine time focused on the Lord. Some folks think that they come and they meet inside these four walls. We spend 2, 3, maybe 4 hours a week down here. And that's going to take care of it. You know, I just go out there and keep being devoted to whatever I want to be devoted to the rest of the week. Those 3 or 4 hours is sufficient. I'm telling you tonight, it's not. It's not sufficient. The Lord doesn't want one of the things we are to be a Christian. He wants that to be the all-consuming aspect of us. He wants people devoted to Him. Devoted to prayer. What if we just told ourselves this? I'm going to spend this month as much time praying to God as I do on Facebook. I'd venture to say that would probably indicate an increase in most of our prayer lives. What if I said, as much as that TV is on, pumping whatever it is into my face, I'm going to be praying to God equal amounts. I'd venture to say that's going to indicate an increase in the amount of time most of us spends in prayer. I don't know. Can't answer for you. All I can answer for is me. But folks, we need to think about such things because Paul tells us to be devoted to prayer. It is important. There are many things that we can be devoted to, but folks, prayer's got to be at the top of the list. The one thing that gets done, even when nothing else gets done. Secondly, Paul tells us with regard to prayer, we need to be alert. We need to be alert when we pray. You know, how many of you do a good bit of reading? You know, most of my reading, I admit, is Bible books and things like that. I get done at the office and I go home. I'm not too interested in reading a novel or whatever, you know. But I do read this book or that book that is related to my studies and such. And one thing that really frustrates me when I'm reading along, and you know it, you get to the end of the page and you think, you know what? What in the world did I just read? Because you read it on autopilot. Has that ever happened to you? Your brain just not really comprehending what you're reading as you're going along. And it's frustrating. I mean, I've read the chapter of a book before and not had any more clue what it was about than when I started. Because my mind's thinking about this or thinking about that instead of being focused on what I was reading. You ever done that while you're driving? I have before. Driven on autopilot. Let me tell you what. One time, my folks were living in Stillwater, Oklahoma, and I still was kind of living down in Texas, and I was doing a lot of back and forth when I used to work on an offshore drilling rig. And I remember one night I was driving through Oklahoma City. It must have been about 2 o'clock in the morning. And all I know is I remember going into Oklahoma City, and then I remember coming out of the north side. I don't remember nothing in between. Drove through that whole city, I guess on autopilot. I didn't remember doing it. Our brain can do amazing things on autopilot. Now, that's not wise, you know. You realize you're doing that, you pull over, right? But our brain really can do amazing things on autopilot. It just kind of takes over. And that's a good thing, because I guess we'd be in a lot of trouble if our brain couldn't do things involuntarily, wouldn't we? We can do a lot of things on autopilot, but I can tell you one thing we best never do on autopilot is pray. When we pray, we need to be alert. We need to be thoughtful about what is going on. And the apostle tells us this at chapter 4 and verse 2. He says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. He says, when we pray, we need to be thinking about what we're praying. We need to be careful about what our needs are and so forth and going to Him in that manner. We need to be alert about what's going on in the world around us. Alert about what's happening with our brethren. We need to go to God and pray. We need to be alert about what He can do for us, what He's promised He'll do for us. We need to be alert about what He's already done for us. We don't want to be people who pray on autopilot. When we pray, we should have invested some time into thinking about what we're doing. What our needs are. What has the Lord already done for us? I want to think about Hannah's prayer for a couple minutes. This is found over at 1 Samuel chapter 2. 1 Samuel chapter 2. You'll remember that Hannah is Samuel's mother. And of course, she was barren, and her sister wife was giving her a hard time about this. And so she went and she prayed to God that God would give her a son. And if He would give her that child, He would dedicate that child over to the Lord. And of course that produced Samuel. And he was raised up there under Eli when he was weaned. And of course became a great prophet. Samuel did. Here in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 1, Hannah prays and she says, on this occasion, thanking God for what He has done. My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in Your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one beside You, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with Him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and He makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and He raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and He set the world on them. He keeps the feet of His godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them He will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and He will give strength to His king, and will exalt the horn of His anointed. Now I can tell you one thing. I'm not a poet by any stretch of the imagination. My prayers don't sound anything like that. I think that's a beautiful prayer. And you know what this prayer represents? It represents forethought, doesn't it? You don't just sit down as a person who never prays and who has not thought about what needs to be said and these beautiful words just roll off the tip of your tongue. This is a woman who had invested time and service to the Lord. This is a woman who had invested time in considering what she was going to say before she sat down and did it. And I think that there are many prayers in your Bible equally as beautiful and that equally represent forethought and alertness. She understood. She got it. She saw what the Lord had done for her. She saw what the Lord did against enemies. She understood how this fit together. This was a woman who was alert. Paul tells us, be alert. As a person devoted to prayer, we need to be someone who is alert in our prayer. Jesus warns us against things such as meaningless repetition. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 7. Here the Lord says, when you are praying, this of course is the Sermon on the Mount, chapters 5 through 7 of Matthew. When you are praying, do not use meaningless repetition. If you're reading from an older translation, it'll say vain repetition. Meaningless repetition as the Gentiles do, for they suppose that they will be heard for their many words. Jesus says we need to avoid vain repetitions. We need to avoid vain repetitions. What's He mean there? I hear some people that they pray the same thing every time they pray. Is the Lord saying that's wrong? No. It's not what He's talking about. He's talking about people who are saying things that they've not given any thought to, and they just say the same thing all the time because they haven't thought about saying anything else. He's talking about, as these Gentiles were, people who just said, look, I've got this much time I've got to fill if I'm going to be heard, and I'm just going to say a bunch of stuff. Kind of like filibustering God, right? I'm just going to say stuff until I fill this time period. Like they're going to be heard because they just said a bunch of stuff. That's what the Lord's talking about. You know what? If you say the same thing in every prayer because you've sat down and thought about it and you believe it needs to be said in every prayer, that's fine. That's a good thing to do. But my friend, if you're just doing it because you're not alert in what you're doing, you need to stop and think about what you're saying. And not only does alertness mean we need to think about what we're saying, I'll submit to you alertness means we need to think about who we're saying it to. Who are we approaching here? You know, there's this great push, especially amongst denominationalism, to just talk to God like He's your daddy. People start prayers, "Hi, Dad," "Hi, Daddy," things like that. Well, the Scripture says He's our Father. Abba, it says, people tell us that means Daddy. That means Papa. We just talk to Him just like we talk to our earthly father. My friend, we need to consider, we need to be alert of the fact that we are approaching the Creator of the universe. And while I'm not saying there's some special formula you've got to say or some special way you've got to speak when you talk, it needs to be done in a way that is respectful and reverent with regard of whom we're speaking to. Folks, let's be alert when we pray. What is it that we need to say? What is it that's going on around us, and who are we talking to? He's our Father, not in the sense of Daddy. He's our Father in the sense that He's the Creator and everything comes from Him. Let's be careful how we approach the Father. Not only should we be devoted to prayer, we need to be alert in our prayer as we offer them up. Paul also tells us to be thankful. We've seen this a couple times this week. This is from chapter 4 of Colossians and verse 2. He says, pray at the same time for us as well. Paul's in prison, beseeching prayers on his behalf. Pray for us as well that God will open up to us a door for the Word so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ for which I have also been in prison. He says at the end of verse 2 that we need to keep alert in our prayer with an attitude of thanksgiving. When we approach the Father, we need to be thankful. You know, when I was young, I remember Mama saying to me a few times, she said, son, my name is not Mama Can I, or Mama Will You. Any of you mamas ever felt that way? All day long. Mama, 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 mama. I need, I need, I need, I need, I need. She said, that's not my name. Sometimes she'd tell me, you know what, one of these days, I'm going to change my name. Something else. Maybe she wanted to change it to Daddy. We never ask Him for nothing. We ask Mama for everything. Right? You see, as we think about this, we need to be people who are thankful. You know, I know when I was young, I'd go to Mama all the time. Mama, will you do this? Mama, will you do that? Mama, can you? Mama, I need. But the times I spent saying to Mama, Mama, thank you, sadly were few and far between. Maybe you did better than I did. I hope so. But I know as I think back, it took me a long time before I got older to realize that Mama did those things because she loved me. And that the respectful thing to do is to, at least every now and then, say, Mama, thank you. See, when we approach the Father, we need to be thankful because what happens a lot of times, I'm afraid, is it doesn't get much better as adults. People say, Father, will you do this? Father, will you do that? Father, can I? Father, so forth and so on. I need this, that, and the other. And the amount of time spent saying, Father, thank you, is small. Friends, we need to be very careful about that. Prayer after prayer, we make our requests known to the Father. Nothing wrong with this. Paul tells us to do that. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, he says, to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. But did you see what Paul just did there again? With thanksgiving, he says. You think of it this way. If you had a scale, and it's a special scale that can measure prayer, And in one side of that scale, you put the request you make. And in the other side of that scale, you put the thanksgiving that you give. Let me ask you this. Which side's going to tip? I know I can answer for myself. That the request side would go down much faster. It's good to make our request known to the Father. The Scripture tells us to do that. We're supposed to lay aside anxiety in that way. But with thanksgiving. There should never be a prayer that we offer that doesn't thank the Lord for something. Because I don't think there's ever been a moment in my life where I didn't have something to thank God for. How about you? We need to be people who are thankful, offering thanksgiving when we go to Him in prayer, making our requests known. Looking back at Philippians 4 and 6 and Colossians 2, as we considered the other night, and other passages on prayer, we realize that the writers always speak of prayer, always speak of thanksgiving when they speak of prayer. It's tied in there. It's supposed to be an inextricable part of what we're doing. Someone who sits down and reviews what the Lord has done and is doing and is thankful for it. It's so easy to get caught in this trap where we're anxious about something and we go to God and we pray and we beg and we request. And when the Father gives, things get better. Well, then we just kind of go on about our business. Don't fall in that trap. As people devoted to prayer, we need to be people who are thankful, who are constantly considering what we have requested and what the Lord has done. I can think of a number of times in my life where I think I can point directly to something that the Lord, through His providence, was taking care of. I remember at the second work that I had out near Lufkin, there was a couple times, you know, our funds were limited. I had some outside support, but not a lot. And it seemed like sometimes there was a lot more month than there was paycheck. We get down to that second or third week, and I remember a time or two thinking, Molly, I don't know what we're going to do this month, but I guess we'll figure something out. But the car's low on gas, and the cupboards are getting low, and so is the bank account. And I can remember on at least two different occasions when I felt that way, sitting down in my pew, and there was a check in an envelope next to me with a good bit of money. Some brother or sister, and I think I know who it was, but he's never fessed up, had just laid it on my pew enough to get us through what was going. The Lord takes care of His people. Takes care of us through His providence. He's mindful of what our needs are. And He sees to it that we're met. Of course, I'm not telling you that the Lord just going to leave checks for you all over the place. Not health and wealth kind of stuff we're saying here. But the point is, the Lord is considerate of us. Just as Jesus said Himself, we shouldn't be like the Gentiles, worried about what we're going to eat and what we're going to drink and what we're going to wear. He says the Lord takes care of the birds of the air. The Lord takes care of the grass of the field. Surely He's going to take care of His people. Friends, we need to trust in the Lord. We need to pray to Him, make our requests known, but we need to be thankful because He takes care of us. He certainly takes care of us. Give thanks, the apostle says. And going on then in Colossians chapter 4, not only should we be devoted and be alert and be thankful, he says we need to be spiritual. We need to be spiritual. This is chapter 4, verses 3 and 4. Read along with me. He says, pray at the same time for us as well, that God will open up to us a door for the Word, so that we may speak forth the mystery of Christ, for which I have also been imprisoned, that I may make it clear in the way I ought to speak. What is Paul praying for here? You know, you think about this for a moment. If I was sitting there in prison like Paul was, I'd probably be praying to get out of prison because I didn't want to be in prison. What is Paul asking people to pray for? That he'll have an open door and the ability to effectively speak the Word. He's spiritually minded. He's spiritually minded. You see, we are spiritual beings, but we're in an earthly vessel. We're in this earthly vessel, and as a result of that, we think about this earth very much. We worry about our health. We worry about finances and on, just many different things that are concerns we have as we walk upon this planet. And it's very evident in our prayers. We pray for the sick. We pray for jobs. We pray for this and that, these other physical things that we consider and need. And sometimes maybe we've even prayed for a few wants. But when we look at our New Testament, one thing you find as you go through these prayers is that it's in not just the New Testament, the Old too. It's very hard to find many statements about something physical. Jesus says we need to pray for our daily needs, food and clothing. We look at 3 John and verse 2. 3 John verse 2, John writes this, "Beloved, I pray that in all respects you may prosper and be in good health, just as your soul prospers." So he talks about having good health. So we can see a couple different examples like that, but by and large what we find is the prayers are spiritually focused. Now once again, we look here at Colossians 4, Paul's praying for these spiritual things. I mean, am I saying to you tonight that it's wrong to pray for something physical? Absolutely not. We see indications of that in Scripture. But once again, you break out that special scale. How much of our prayer is spent on the spiritual matters, and how much of our prayer is spent on the physical? I would suspect it's probably similar to me when I review the things that I pray for. It tends to be more physical. Friends, we need to be spiritually minded. We need to be considering the Lord's will, the Lord's work. We need to be considering the gospel prospering here in the town of Oak Ridge. We need to be considering those things. Asking the Lord for the ability to effectively teach and to take the Scripture and help people to see the plain truths that are found there. Ask the Lord for open doors. All these many important spiritual matters. How much time do we spend doing just that? We need to consider those things, be spiritually minded. Understand that the Lord sees that we're in an earthly vessel. The Lord is considerate of those things, and He says He'll help us with our needs, food and clothing and health like we see here in 3 John. But it's very important that we are spiritually minded. While the physical is fine to request, our focus really needs to be on the spiritual. And you see, if we're going to walk worthily in the Lord, we have got to understand that prayer is a very, very important part of that. We just can't overstate it. We need to go to God and ask Him for His aid, His assistance, for wisdom like James 1 tells us to ask. We need to be people devoted to prayer because if we're going to walk worthily, it's going to take that. And I'm here to tell you this evening that if you are not yet a Christian, you don't have that audience with the Father. Isaiah 59:2 tells us that your sins have made a separation. He's hidden His face so that He does not hear. But you know, you can change that tonight. If you've heard the word of the Lord and you're willing to turn from your sin and confess His name and be baptized for the remission of sins and get busy working with these saints here in Oak Ridge, if this is where you live, you can do that tonight. You can leave here just as clean as you were the day you were born and having an audience with the Father to speak to Him and ask for His help in these things as we've talked about tonight. And we encourage you to do that. But if you're here tonight and you're already a Christian and you think about the prayers that you make and you realize that maybe I'm not as devoted to it as I should, maybe I'm not as alert about it as I should, maybe I'm not as thankful, maybe I'm not as spiritual about it as I should be, just encourage you to make that right tonight. And leave this place saying, I'm going to do differently. Because I want to walk worthily as a person who's received that circumcision that's made without hands. And I need the Lord's help to do that. Can't do it by myself. But keep on the alert, he says, at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are about to take place and to stand before the Son of Man. Those are the words of Jesus in the Gospel of Luke. Would you like to make your life right tonight? We offer this time to you. Please take advantage of it while we stand and sing.